So I wonder, what is the bravest thing that you've ever done? What's the bravest thing you've ever done? So we heard Faith's story from a little bit earlier about having to stand up in front of a classroom full of people and speak, and that was a brave thing. Has anybody say they've done a brave thing recently in the last week or two? Anybody taken and done something that they would consider to be very brave? Ed, what have you done? Okay, put yourself down to be chairman of the football team. That sounds brave to me. Yes. Anybody else done anything brave in the last few weeks? None at all. Excellent. Well, after today, you'll be doing brave things all the time, I promise you. Well, I asked our elders and our leaders and our staff team around here for the bravest thing that they had ever done. I'd asked them for their brave move stories, and here are some examples of the things they told me that they'd done that were really brave. One of them has pulled a man from a burning car. That sounds quite brave. Another one was saying that they hosting services. Again, public speaking, that was a brave thing that they've done. Somebody else said that they chased off somebody who was attacking somebody else, and they chased them off and reported them to the police. Somebody else said leaving behind their life in one country to move to another country with nothing but a couple of suitcases and virtually no money. Somebody else said taking a moral stand with a very unpopular opinion at work. Somebody else said giving up a well-paid job to go and work for a church. There are some of the brave things that people around our community responded when I asked them what their bravest thing was that they'd ever done. I wonder what you would say was the bravest thing you've ever done. You know, sometimes I think we link Christianity and going to church with boredom. We link it with safety. We link it oftentimes with being comfortable. How many times have you heard church or Christianity being described as boring? And if you're exploring faith and if you're new to church life, maybe that's been your impression. Maybe that's even been your experience. I think sometimes that we think, those of us who've been around churches for a while, that the goal of following Jesus is to give us a comfortable life or an easy life. And that's understandable. When the world seems so unsafe and such a difficult place to be, when it feels uncomfortable, when it feels like it's changing at a fast pace, the desire to be comfortable is quite understandable. But what if, actually, God wanted something way more for us, way more significant for us than just our comfort or an easy life? What if God knew that there was something that we needed and that our world needs that's way more significant than comfort and safety? Something that he wanted us to pass on to other people. Something that we could experience ourselves and then pass on to others as we did our following of Jesus. And that we could do that if we were just prepared every so often to take a brave move, to do something. And what if in doing that we encountered and found something way more than boring, way more than boring? You know, we've been talking with the adults in here over the last few weeks about how the conditions of our world are changing, that perhaps we seem to be more divided than ever before, more unsettled even than ever before. Gil Rendell, in his book Quietly Courageous, uses the language of convergent and divergent to describe this shift that we're seeing in our culture, that for many years our culture converged around a common overarching story. But that over the last few years, that story is being stripped away. There is a fight going on in our culture for the overarching story and for what it is and for who's going to control it. And that's why so many of us these days are struggling. It's why so many of us are struggling with our mental health and our emotions. Because our world feels like an anxious place to be because there's this fight going on. What a divergent world needs, and we're living in a very divergent world these days, what a divergent world needs is hope. Hope that comes from a bigger story. Hope that comes from knowing that there is a bigger story that can provide a foundation for our lives. In divergent times, when the road conditions of our world are changing, we need hope. We need a story to live by. We need a change in the conversation. And in this series with the adults, we've been going back 2,000 years and talking about how people found that bigger story back then. How people 2,000 years ago, living in a very divergent world and in a very divergent culture, found a better story to live by. We've been saying that in those days, 2,000 years ago, in the Middle East, Jewish and Roman and pagan religious systems were clashing, but they all revolved around specific locations and specific people. If you wanted to do God or the gods, depending on whether you were Roman or pagan or Jewish, if you wanted to do God or gods, the way that you did it is you went to a specific place, usually a temple, at a specific time to do something specific, and somebody specific, a priest, would do faith to you or for you. That was how it worked. You went somewhere, you saw somebody who looked important, who was doing faith to you. And as long as you followed the rituals and you did it right and you allowed faith to be done to you, then you could be right with God or the gods, depending on which religious system you were following. Now, Jesus came and Jesus blew all of that apart. Because Jesus came and he came to do something very different. And he said, I've come to do something very different, to shift gears in terms of how people could and would connect to God. He launched a movement. He said, this is no longer about a specific time and a specific place and a specific person doing faith to you. This is going to be about a movement that everybody is invited into, that everybody can belong to. It was this huge difference between what I've called the temple model of faith, such as was being experienced by people in the Roman religions or the pagan religions or in the Jewish religion. There's a huge difference between that temple model of doing God, doing faith, and the Jesus model, which I've called a movement model. You see, and in a temple model, it's very static. You have to go somewhere at a specific time and a specific place. It relies on a few people to do God to everybody else. And it's very consumerist. You go and you kind of consume religion or faith. The movement mindset that Jesus came to bring was about moving. It was about being on a journey. It was about taking next steps, like the ones we've been celebrating today, in your journey of faith. It's about following Jesus rather than going to a specific place. It's about relying on other people. It's about being inspired to take next steps. And it's united by passion. One of the reasons, though, why even though Jesus has made a way for us to experience this and called us to this, one of the reasons why we often drift back in churches, why we often drift back to this model, is because it's easy and it's safe and it's comfortable. It's comfortable to have faith and God done to us. It's easier to have other people do it than it is perhaps sometimes to take ownership for ourselves. We don't have to think much about it when we're in a temple model. We don't have to change much in our lives. But it's really, really boring. It's boring. And it's safe, and it's comfortable, and it's not what Jesus calls us to. Jesus calls us to movement, which implies going somewhere, doing something. It implies excitement rather than just comfort. You know, when Jesus started his ministry, he announced that the kingdom of heaven is near. He announced in that big announcement that his movement was beginning, and he would bring the kingdom to earth. And he needed people to join his movement, because even Jesus couldn't go very far without some people to go with. His movement would not gain any traction unless there were some people he was moving with. So Jesus set out to call some people to start following him. And we've got an account, or we've got various accounts of the ways he called his first followers to start following him. And one is in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew's account of the life of Jesus in the New Testament part of the Bible. And it says this: one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. Peter and Andrew were fishing. That was how they earned their living. They were casting out together. They'd have had a weighted net, and they would have casted it out from a boat into the lake, and it would have sunk through the weights, and they would have drawn it up together, and it would have gathered the fish as it sunk, and they would have pulled the fish out of the sea, out of the lake. And they are called right in the middle of their daily activity, their earning of a living. Jesus comes and says, come and follow me, and I have an adventure for you. The expression that they left their nets implies that they left behind everything. That was their way of earning a living. That was their way of getting money to eat food and to provide for their families. They left everything to follow Jesus. That was a brave move, to leave everything to follow him. And fishing was actually a relatively secure profession. So they're leaving behind security to follow Jesus. Later, Peter would say to Jesus, we left everything to follow you. They left for this mission to fish for people, to go out and share God's love and hope to the world, to transform it. And then the story carries on. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving their boat and their father behind. James and John, they're carrying out their daily business. Jesus sees them, invites them to follow him, and they leave everything to follow him too. Now, it's really important to say, this was probably not a spur-of-the-moment decision. This was not the first time that they had encountered Jesus. They'd met Jesus before. They may well have been involved in other times and occasions where Jesus was ministering to other people. They'd seen Jesus doing some things. This was not probably an emotional, split-second, spur-of-the-moment decision. They had had time to consider the mission of Jesus, and when Jesus came inviting, they responded. And it's interesting to note that Jesus invites them into his mission, invites them into his adventure, which was not the case with a lot of rabbis of the time. If you wanted to follow a rabbi at the time, as Jesus was, you went to the rabbi and asked, please, sir, would it be okay if I followed you around for a while? Jesus turns that on his head. He shifts gears again, and he invites people to follow him. He establishes a new pattern where he will take the initiative and invite people into a relationship with him and to follow him and into an adventure with him. As their relationship with Jesus grew, so did their level of commitment, culminating in this moment where they go all in with Jesus. As their relationship with Jesus grew, so did their commitment. As they increasingly understood who Jesus was and what Jesus was going to be about, so their commitment to him grew. And that is a challenge to us, particularly those of us who would say we've been Christians or Jesus followers for a while. And the challenge is this: is our commitment to Jesus growing? Are our brave moves that we're taking as we follow Jesus proportionate to the amount of time we've been following him? Because oftentimes I think the longer we are following Jesus, the less brave we get, and sometimes even the less committed we get. What an adventure these people had, by the way. What an adventure. I mean, it wasn't easy going, it wasn't comfortable or safe a lot of the time, but they had an adventure. I mean, they wouldn't have known this when they were leaving all they had behind them to follow Jesus, but what an adventure they set out on. They didn't quite get it a lot of the time, but Jesus still sent them out to do amazing things. They saw God doing extraordinary things. They had a front row seat to see God at work in the kingdom of God coming on earth as it was in heaven. But it wasn't easy, and it wasn't comfortable, and it wasn't safe. But it was an adventure, and it was never boring. See, I think this challenges us. If your version, if my version of following Jesus is boring, then we're not doing it right. If our version of Christianity is boring, then we're not doing it right. Because it's never supposed to be about boredom. Maybe if we're bored in our faith journey, it's time to shift gears for us. If the version of Christianity you're experiencing or encountering is boring, then it's not the version of Christianity that Jesus came to bring to you. I've been really interested recently to be reading and listening to a podcast by a guy called Justin Brierley called Surprising Rebirth of Belief in God. And actually, I hosted on Friday this week a kind of webinar thing with Justin, and he was speaking all about this. And it's a fantastic podcast and a great book and well worth reading, by the way. But he talks about a guy called Tom Holland, not Spider-Man, I just want to say. A different Tom Holland, a Tom Holland who is a historian. And Tom Holland has written an amazing book called Dominion, which is all about how the Christian faith shaped the Western world for good, the world that we live in today. And Tom Holland, he's really exploring faith right now. Whether he's a Christian or not, I don't quite know. But Tom Holland, for many years, was what many people would call a secular humanist. So not a person of faith, but a person who admired the values of being kind and compassionate and those kind of things. And one of the things that struck me from an interview that Justin does on that podcast with Tom Holland is Tom Holland said, I've come to a realization that humanism is really boring. That humanism is boring because it's about being kind and compassionate, but for no reason. So there's no beauty to it. There's no overarching story to it that brings purpose and meaning, that gives value beyond the human existence. And I thought that was really, really interesting. And one of the things Tom Holland admires about the Christian faith is that there is beauty and meaning and purpose in the story of Christianity. And I found that so challenging because I wonder if sometimes my version of Christianity looks more like humanism than the adventure that Jesus has called me into. And I wonder sometimes if that's true for many of us who would say we were Jesus followers, that our following of Jesus looks more like a pretty dull, lifeless kind of existence than it does an adventure of following Jesus. How do we move away from boring? Well, the antidote to boring is a brave move. How do we move into exciting? By taking brave moves. And as we take brave moves, we bring hope to a divergent world. Paul, another of Jesus' followers, whose life was far from boring when he started following Jesus, in his letter to the Romans says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That what the Jesus follower is supposed to be about is being so full of hope that it overflows from us, bringing hope to a world that so desperately needs it. Peter, another one of the first followers of Jesus, says this in his letter, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus is not interested in our comfort or in us having an easy life. It wasn't going to be comfortable for those brothers as they followed him. It wouldn't be safe, but what it would be full of hope. It would be full of hope. Jesus says, "Come and I will show you how to fish for people, how to spread the hope of God to a divergent world that so desperately needs it, how to make a difference to the world that they were living in." God is much less interested in our safety and comfort than he is in our impact for the kingdom of heaven by bringing hope bringers to a world that desperately needs it. So I want to ask all of us of all ages this question: where do we take our cues from for adventure? Where do we take our cues from to take a brave move? This app and this journal that we're launching over this today and have done over the last week or so is a great place to start at taking cues to make a brave move. It has a whole brave move section in it. And we can start to take our cues for taking brave moves to bring hope bringers to our world from that app. Maybe you take your hope, and maybe you take your cues for brave moves from the story of Jesus, From reading his story, maybe you take your cues for a brave move from reading about Jesus and allowing it to change you and allowing you to do something in response to it. Maybe you take your brave move cue from an inspiring story of somebody else, from a friend or from reading something. What could your cues be that would lead you into taking a brave move that would have an impact for God in our world? You know, courage and bravery is not the absence of fear. Somebody famous once said that, didn't they? Courage and bravery is not the absence of fear. It's the willingness to move anyway. Let's not settle for boring. Let's look for cues to take a brave move. Jesus did not have boring in mind for us. He had exciting and adventurous. And the way we find that is to take a brave move as we follow Jesus from wherever we're starting from in our journey of faith. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these stories that we see of how Jesus invited people to follow him. And we thank you that he is still inviting us to follow him today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you invite us to follow you. And when we respond to that invitation, you call us into a life of adventure and meaning and purpose and not of boredom. We're sorry for the times where, for whatever reason, we have allowed ourselves to slip into a boring version of our lives and of the Christian faith. Inspire us, Lord. Show us where to take our cues from for making brave and bold moves in our following of Jesus, to be hope bringers to a world that desperately needs it. Amen.